play with us, Danny. Forever and ever and ever.
Remember what Mr. Halloran said? It's just like pictures in a book, Danny. It isn't real.
All right, and that was the one of the more eerie and scarier scenes from Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. That movie came out in 1980, the year I was born, so that was a good year for horror, I guess. And speaking of birthdays and years, I had a birthday this past week, the 28th Tuesday, and being so close to Halloween, some people have made jokes over the years that I can, you know, just go around as myself and scare people, and this is only like 3 days from my birthday to Halloween, so that's okay. I don't mind. We're just joking about that. But hey, as long as I get some candy, I'm good. So Kit Kats and Musketeers, little bite-sized Musketeers, I'm good. But okay, we're just started the 19th episode of the Trappisphere. Welcome to the Trappisphere. I'm your host, Travis Knight, and this is only episode 19. I should be way up in the 30s or 40s by now, but you know, some things have happened, and I'm dealing with a lot of stuff, other stuff, you know. But I'm making time to put out episodes for the loyal listeners and the show, and I really appreciate it, and thanks for staying with me, and I hope to have some good stories this episode, so close to Halloween, or I'm releasing this on Halloween, as a matter of fact, so it was good timing that way. When I put together, was thinking of ideas for this episode, I wanted to include some of my scarier some ghost stories that I've done, as well as talk a little bit about a few of the scary movies that have really had an effect on me. There's three or four of those. I mentioned those before on a previous episode, and I've talked mostly about clowns. As you guys remember that episode a few months back, and so I'll talk a little bit about clowns this episode, as you can imagine. Just can't stop talking about them. They do have that effect on me, as well as, and if you have that irrational fear of clowns, then you know where I'm coming from. But okay, let's get started. For Halloween this year, you know, I have six nieces and nephews, and it's all about them. We're going to have a bonfire and make roast marshmallows and hot dogs and all that stuff out at my sister's place, and then we're going to go trick-or-treating so the kids can get some candy, and I can eat most of it, take it from them without them looking, and things like that. So I'm just a good uncle and not wanting them to get as much cavities, and trying to make sure there's nothing bad in their candy by taking it and eating it myself. So, you know, I'm just doing my part as a good uncle. But okay, like I said, first of all, growing up next to a cemetery, which I do, as you guys know that, you know, the property line 3 feet away from that is a headstone, so that's how close it is, and so 20 feet away is the end of the graveyard, or the end of the property line, so it's that close, and, you know, there's a few, you know, seeing zombie movies, and people coming out of the graves to eat your brains and all that stuff. Return of the Living Dead, and that scene that scared me as I lived so close to one. And a couple of scenes from Poltergeist. The scene towards the very end where the mom falls into the pool, and the caskets come up out of the ground into the swimming pool, and bodies fall out. I always thought that would happen to our house at some weird point. So that always was on my mind as well, and scared me to watch that show. And so those two movies were two of them that scared me as a kid, but now I just find them funny, and as most older horror movies are, and newer ones as well. I think they've kind of lost their way as far as true horror, and they just keep recycling and repeating, you know, old ideas and replacing them with new actors, which, you know, I guess the only justification for that is everyone needs a job, so okay, yeah, fine, great. One that really, really scared me was Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not the new remix or those movies. I'm talking about the 1973 version, or 74 version, the original one. The one that was banned in theaters, in some theaters, in some countries, because it was too gruesome. And I was always afraid to go to Texas to visit relatives, and my grandfather, who was alive when he lived in Texas, because it was so big, I thought that the killers would come find us and get us with a chainsaw. That's what I was always afraid of growing up. So I lived so close to Texas, about 20 miles from here. So that was that. And, you know, I one of the more disturbing scenes from that, the original was towards the very end where they catch Sally, who was played by Marilyn Burns, and that movie was really good for horror, because it changed horror at that point. But one of the more chilling scenes was towards the very end, and how at that point they set her down at the chair at the table, and they brought in the old man, and they didn't have any fake blood at that point, so they had to actually cut her finger for that scene, and that's what really freaked her out, because they didn't know that they were going to do that. So that's what really freaked her out, and the old man started sucking on her finger, and that just really just grossed me out and freaked me out. That's one of the more terrifying scenes of that whole movie. But you know, that's one of the more ones that really scared me the most growing up, because I didn't want to go to Texas and have that happen to me or anything like that. So but they're that whole trilogy, they're making movies that contradict other movies. There was the original, then there was part two in 86 with what's the guy's name, Dennis Hopper. He played the Texas Ranger, and they find him, and he ultimately kills the one of the killers, or a bunch of them. And then there's part three in 1992 or 93 that they made it, and they made like two or three more after that. But then, you know, in 2003 they had a remake of it, and then last year they made, or a couple years ago they made The Beginning as a prequel to the remake in 2003, which, you know, I don't know why they did that, but, and then they made like the follow-up after the fact, one that happened right after the original, which conflicts with all of them, cause of the sequential order of all of them. It kind of conflicts with them in that sense. But I find that story to be interesting, and one of the more scarier ones. Because I think that one, like I said, that one changed horror as far as the serial killer, mass murderer type of film that was later to come. That was a precursor to Freddy and Jason and Pinhead and Chucky and all the other ones, the Scream movies and everything like that. That was one of the page turner in the horror genre. Just up to that, you just had just the regular monsters, Dracula, The Exorcist, and things like that. But that one really, really changed horror. But here lately, some of them have, you know, I think it's just kind of stopped with the movies that have been released past couple years, things aren't really that scary anymore to me. I don't find them that scary. I think I kind of find them much more humorous and funny than scary. Some movies. Other ones that involve clowns, yeah, those are the exception, as you may know, and only a few things scare me, and clowns, spiders, Republicans, you know, things like that. So, ex-girlfriends, or running into them, as you might say, where you're from, that kind of worries me a little bit. It doesn't scare me, but it's kind of, Jesus Christ, why are you? But yeah, clowns, this scene from Poltergeist, where the little brother, I think his name was Robbie or something like that, he tries to find the clown under the bed, and he jumps back up, and the clown attacks him, and I've mentioned this before on my show of what would happen if that were me, and then, and the rest is history, and that would not end well for the clown, whether it is a possessed doll or an actual person, some dumbass who's brave enough to do that, to attack me like that. It wouldn't, even if it is as a goof or a joke, that would not end well. That would not end well. Some damage to the house, some broken bones. Yeah, that would not end well. I would probably be going to jail for assault or something like that. So that's that. And of course, it, the Stephen King movie, or Stephen King's movie based upon Stephen King's novel of the same title. Obviously, that scared a lot of people growing up, and like I said, the same effect, like Scarface wanting to fight back against the his people that were trying to come to get him or attack him or arrest him or something to kill him in that movie Scarface. That Say Hello to My Little Friend. That
you want a flat case? Okay. After that, will you? Come on. Okay. Do you want to play rough? Okay.
Uno.
Say hello to my little friend! Do you want to play rough? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Do you like that?
Little scene. That's how... A reminder of how that would end with Pennywise or the...
Hi, Georgie.
Poltergeist clown or this new clown that they have on... American Horror Story, Freak Show this season. They got this one clown on there. I think his name is Twisty the Clown or something like that. I don't really care. It doesn't matter to me. They're all evil. So, but in this story, in this show, this season, they have this clown, and the lady, the head lady, Jessica Lange's character, comes upon him. She's driving along, and she sees him, and she asks him, are you available for, kids' parties or children's parties or whatever, and he just looks at her, and then that's really the only part I saw about that scene. So I didn't really care to see the end, of the rest of it. But if that were me, coming along, a clown that looks like that, and he's looked fucking horrendous and disfigured, and his face is just scary. I'd back up and run his ass over a couple of times. I really would. I'm not kidding. I'd back up or drive up alongside him, open the door, and knock him down and keep on driving. Seriously, I'm not planning about that. I wouldn't mess around. And then there's the other scene where he's comes upon these couple that were having a picnic by the river or the lake, and the boyfriend is over by the car, and the girl's on the blanket, and she notices the clown, and he bends down and gives her flowers, and then the boyfriend comes over and says, "What the hell is this?" And if you guys have seen that scene, you guys know what I'm talking about, how it plays out. So then he bends down again and pulls out two bowling pins and knocks them both unconscious, and she wakes up a few minutes later and notices the clown on top of her boyfriend stabbing him repeatedly with something, knife or pickaxe or something, and so she runs away and screaming, which is a mistake that cost her life, because then she gets a few yards away, the clown notices her, runs over, and kills her. If that were me, then I definitely wouldn't be running away. I would definitely be trying to stop him, and the only way that I would be able to do that is just run right at him and just tackle his ass and butt heads and try to get him unconscious and then just fight for dear life and just whip his ass, really. That's basically how I can describe it. Just cause some real damage. I mean, he wants to run at you like that, then you guys got to fight back, and because he wants to kill you, so you have no choice but to run and or fight back. I mean, he might kill you, but at least you would go out with a fight and hopefully do some damage to him as well and make him think twice about doing it again. You might get away, but very doubtful with me. I wouldn't pretty much give up until I had a choice but to, or he would get me where I couldn't. But anyways, that I would be that's what I would do, is just try to run and tackle him and just all-out brawl, you know. Best way to describe it. And then these idiots that, same with these idiots that have shown up all across California and other states and cities, how they dress up in clown uniform outfits and the hair and the makeup and everything, and they stand on street corners trying to scare people with balloons and shit like that. So that's, I wouldn't take too kindly to that. No, I wouldn't stand for that. I would, make sure that they wouldn't stand on my neighborhood or my town, really. That's not cool. And I know that they mean it as a joke, but that's just not cool. I don't approve of that, and I definitely don't like that. Even if it is as a goof, and I like to play practical pranks on people, I can do that all day long. But I would never do one as a clown. To scare people—that's way out of bounds. That's something that I wouldn't do, even as a prank on other people. So that's just crazy. But enough about clowns. Hopefully, this will be the last time I talk about them until maybe next year when I have more listeners and everything like that. But you know, I've seen a lot of pictures on Facebook of different clowns, and people have been sending me shit like that, and I was like, why would you do that? Why would you post pictures of clowns like that? And I asked him, why would you do that? Seriously. But okay, you have your reasons, which, okay. But, like I said, that's all I'm going to talk about clowns, is I don't want to be too scared and stick the light on and all that shit. Okay, like I said before, I've been on a few ghost adventures a couple years ago when I was with one of my ex-friends. She tagged along on one of them, a few ghost hunts, but I'm not going to talk about that ex-girlfriend because I don't want to scare you and I don't want to scare myself, so we'll just get that and leave that horror out of this particular story. Make it a little bit less scary. It was 2007, and me and She-Devil, that's what I will refer to her as, She-Devil. We were watching, and this was during the height of the whole ghost hunters and all that stuff, and I met some people who were ghost hunters, and I just wanted to try it out and write a few stories about it. And this was when I was working at the Gazette, writing stories about education and things like that. So I decided to. That it will be fun to see what all the hype was about and what goes into an a paranormal investigation and everything surrounding it. So I contact a local paranormal group, and we do some ghost hunts around Texarkana and some out towards and some other places in East Texas, some in Nash, some in Jefferson, Texas, and one, we did one in Boonville, Arkansas, at the Arkansas Tuberculosis Sanitarium, and I will talk about that big story towards the end, but first I have a few stories that need to be talked about, and the main one is, let's see, I can talk about the one in Jefferson, Texas, the hotel. I think that it was the Jefferson Hotel. I think that's what it was. This was 7 years ago, over 7 years ago, so I don't really remember that much about it. Although I do remember some details that I will share for those stories. Thinking that it was a weekend, and Friday, Saturday night one, that we went down there and went to the hotel. We ate first and then went into the hotel for the investigation. And one of the rooms at this hotel, it was rumored that that director Steven Spielberg stayed there in the early 80s. He was researching a film or something like that. And he left in the middle of the night and was scared and things like that. So there's always that rumor. Whether it happened or not, I don't know. I wasn't there then, obviously. So I couldn't tell you for sure. But the rumor was about this particular room was that the rocking chair rocked on its own, and you would see figures in the dark and shadows in the dark and things like that. So we go up there for, there's like four or five of us in the room that went up there, and I'm staying there for about an hour. I only stayed for 20 minutes, so I went back downstairs. Nothing really happened. I didn't really get any strange vibes or any hairs on my arm set up or anything like that, so I didn't really think much of it during this investigation of this room and during the time that I spent there. The other team spent an hour there. I only spent 20 minutes there, so nothing really happened there. So I go downstairs, I get to the bottom of the stairs, and then I smell a strong aroma of perfume. And this was strong. It was as if someone had sprayed perfume all over this little lobby or this stairwell at the end of the stairs for a couple of minutes, and then it was strong, and then I walked through it, and then someone was right behind me, and so I waited for her to get down to the stairs, one of the other team members, and I asked her, "Do you smell perfume?" And it was a strong perfume smell there. She said, "Yeah." So she did stay behind for a minute. I got the hell out of there because I was kind of freaked out at this moment. So I went outside and got to the door and walked out and everything. So that was pretty much all that happened at that particular investigation or this ghost hunt adventure. So that was that one. Not much happened there. But to explain the perfume smell, it could have been from someone else in the building spraying perfume into the air vents and it circulating all throughout the whole building or whatever. So these smells that people experience, it could be, you know, different scents. People sitting next to air vents, it gets in the air vents and the air turns on and it circulates all throughout the whole building or whatever. So that could be one possible explanation for perfume smells or anything like that. Same with cigarette smells. It gets in the wood and when it during the hotter months and seasons than summertime, the wood gets hotter and then the pores open up and then that releases the cigarette smoke, cigar smoke, perfume and other smells, other stale smells, odors. So that could be a good explanation for what people smell when they smell those smells. So I'm not saying that is all that it is, but that could be a possible explanation for that, for the smells. So just because you hear something or smell something or feel something does not mean that it is 100% definitely a ghost or paranormal activity. No. There are scientific explanations for what those could be and what those are. And that is not to say that all cases are ghosts. No. 90% of the paranormal claims can be explained scientifically, rationally, through sight, sound, whatever. There are logical explanations for paranormal claims. That does not mean that they're all false. Some of them are unexplainable. I'll give you that. But a true skeptic like myself, and that's what I still am to this day, I do not understand how a spirit can exist outside the body. That is where I'm at right now on the whole paranormal debate. That's not to say that I'm open to the experience. Obviously, I want to experience that, even though I may not react as well as I should, but I would give myself the benefit of the doubt to not freak out if I were to see a ghost or paranormal activity. I, to this day, have not seen anything or heard anything in all of my investigations that year, 2007, that would make me believe otherwise. Even though I have one photo, which I will talk about later in another story, at the sanitarium. But that's where I'm at on the whole debate of paranormal debate. Do ghosts exist and stuff like that? Let's see, another story. Oh yes, another story that I want to tell you about that I really haven't talked about. This was probably a week before I went to the Jefferson Hotel. We went to two investigations in two different cemeteries. One was in Nash. It was on a dirt road. And this one, you know, I don't have an explanation for. Someone could have easily done this. But I was in a good view of my car the whole time to see if someone did this or not. But, so we were in this old abandoned cemetery, real old. It was on a dirt road, forgotten trees all around. And it was me and a few other friends. My ex-girlfriend was there and a few other people that I knew from this group of ghost hunters, paranormal investigators. And I parked my car facing the road, and I was near my town. I took a few pictures of the cemetery. I didn't really see any orbs or anything like that. And I'll talk about orbs later on, here in a few minutes. But nothing really happened during that investigation that would lead me to believe that it was paranormal until I got to my car. You know, I was no more than a few feet away from it, but when I finally approached my car, on the back driver's side window, there was fingerprints and handprints on the window, and I didn't see them before, because I was stood by my car most of the time in the early part of the investigation, but then I wandered off to the cemetery, but I could still see my car. But so no one was really near it, and I was able to see fingerprints and handprints on the driver's side window, or the back window on the driver's side. So that kind of got me thinking about it, and I took pictures of it, and I don't have those pictures with me anymore. They're on my hard drive where all the other pictures are back then, but I'll have to find them and get those out so you guys can see those as well. So that really got me thinking about it, but that could have been just anybody, you know, someone doing that when I had my back turned to my car or something like that. So that didn't really give me much evidence as to saying that a ghost did that. You know, anybody could have done that. So, you know, there's lots of dust out there on the dirt road. Anybody could have done it. So that didn't really give me much evidence, much credibility to the whole thing. And then that's really the only, well, I guess I can talk about Union Station. The train station in downtown Texarkana, Union Station, is reported to be haunted, and I was also fortunate enough to go and investigate this place with a friend of mine and a couple of friends of mine, my ex-girlfriend as well. We investigated the whole kitchen galleys and all parts of the building, the basement, the root, the attic, the upper floors, but I didn't really see anything or hear anything that would make me believe that it was there as well, or that it was haunted, or was spirits there. Although I have a few pictures that would prove otherwise, different lights floating around in distinct patterns around the photo, and things like that that would prove that. But that photo doesn't really mean prove paranormal activity. You know, I would take one where there'd be lots of dust orbs, and then the next one of the same picture, or the same shot, would be nothing in it. Does dust orbs mean that it is paranormal that a ghost showed up in that photo? No. This was an old building. It was abandoned for years. You know, probably asbestos in there. That's why we wore protective gear on our noses and faces and stuff. Dust in. Was it worse? So that's probably what that was. It was dust and not proof of paranormal or a ghost or anything like that. And I will say to the whole skeptic thing, these shows, you know, Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, things like that, you know, I am more of a skeptic, and those shows are easily editable and are edited to Five Ways Till Sunday to seem as if could be easily proven that paranormals exist. I'm not saying that they do or do not. If I had that answer, I would probably be a millionaire by now. So, but I don't have that answer. So that's not to say that what happens there does or does not exist. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't say otherwise. And you know, so I'm ultimately skeptic about the shows, and too much can be faked or fabricated to prove that paranormal activity does exist, that ghosts do exist, and like I said, 80-90% of all paranormal cases can be rationally explained, identified. So, but the ones that can't, that's where things get interesting. So, but like I said, nothing really happened at the news station that would prove to me otherwise, besides a few photos that can be easily be explained as light anomalies. There was a bunch of windows in the front of the building and street lights coming in that could have easily explained the light patterns in these photos that I have taken. So, nothing really there. No. I got a bunch of EVPs but I didn't really hear anything. Nothing really happened on those, so nothing about that. the big story that I wanted to explain, to include on this show, was the ghost hunt that we did on the Arkansas Tuberculosis Sanitarium, one of the more haunted locations in Arkansas, outside of Little Rock and Eureka Springs. Which the in Eureka Springs, the Crest Crescent Hotel, which is rumored to be haunted, and I would like to go up there one day and see if I can find anything up there. Lots of places I went to. The Overlook Hotel in not the Overlook, the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. I wanted to go there and see if I could find anything. Which is based off the Overlook Hotel in, what is that place? In northern Colorado. I can't think of what I should know it. It's just north Denver. I can't think of, the name. Not Hyde Park. Anyways, I can't think of it right now. I'm sorry, I just turned 34, so I'm, my memory is not what it was. I should know this. I'm sorry. I should know this. It'll probably come to me in a few minutes when I'm thinking about it, when I'm thinking about the story, not what it will be. So just with me. You guys know what I'm talking about. But we, and I invited a few of my close friends to investigate with this with me that night in Boonville. We stayed overnight, and a couple of my close friends I've known for years that went with me, and we all met beforehand, had dinner and stuff like that. So we go out to the place, and there in this place, a brief history about it. You know, this place was established to serve patients of tuberculosis in the early part of the 20th century in Arkansas. You know, it was in the mountains. It was in the middle of the Ozarks. There was cool, crisp air that doctors thought would help with the treatments of tuberculosis, and it wasn't just for adults, it was for kids as well. They had their own kids wing on the fifth floor, I think north side, I think. And the building was running north and south. It was a five-story north and south building. So we get there, we see a bunch of patients outside the building. They were place still had the facility still had patients and other buildings still on the grounds of the sanatorium, even though the building itself, the big building itself, was not being used. There were smaller other houses that were still in use at that time. I'm not sure about today, but there were still some patients there for other medical reasons. I don't know if it was mental or other other medical reasons, but either we they do the blessings, they do the sage and all that stuff, and I was just letting them do their thing and kind of hype myself up, prep myself to going into this place, because this was one of the bigger investigations that I've been on at that point, and this was the biggest, because after this, I gave it up and didn't want to do it anymore. So we all go in, and we have to wait a few minutes, get our assignments, get our equipment together, and just wait around, and so we all wait there for, I think, a few minutes, and then we all broke into teams and took one of the floors and then rotated, you know, each team took floors above and below and stuff like that. So we all rotated, spent a couple of minutes, several minutes on each floor, you know, 30 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever, you know, an hour on each floor, and then go on to the next floor or come down to the basement or whatever. Rotate. So it was my close friends and me, my girlfriend, and then another guy that was here, which I didn't really like the guy, but oh well, whatever. Not much really happened on the second and third floor, or first and second and third floors. Not much really happened. Happened on those floors, but you know, some people said that they heard voices or anything like that. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. But on the fourth floor, This is where it gets interesting. From what I remember, and this is all from what I remember, my memory is a little sketchy, but I'll try to do my best to remember everything as it happened, as best I can remember. And I say all this, but don't take my word for it verbatim, as if it actually happened. It didn't. Please remain skeptical of everything I say, as if it didn't happen, because you weren't there. You didn't experience it, so take it with a grain of salt, and be skeptical of what I say, because I'm not saying all this to prove it. I'm saying as if it my own experiences of what I say and experiencing everything like that. This is what I did, not you. So I want to reserve that skepticism there. But nothing really happened on the fourth floor that I experienced with my own eyes and ears. I didn't feel anything. However, in one of my photos that I've taken on that fourth floor, it looks like as if a little girl was floating there. And this is what I see in this photo. You could see something different when I put it out there in tomorrow or today or whatever. And I will put it out there. But this photo, this particular photo, there's two of them that caught my eye. This one, it looks like a little girl is in a dancing dress, a tutu or whatever, and she's floating in midair, and she has her back towards the camera, so it's the camera picture is showing her back as she's floating in midair, but she's kind of turned to the right a little bit, like tilted to the right a little bit. That's what I see in this picture. And like I said, you can see something different when you see it. If you choose to look at it, that's up to you. I don't mind if you don't, and that's fine. And I will post these on Facebook. I will post them on Twitter to see what you guys think and give me your reactions to them. I'm curious just to see what you think of this photo and the one and this other photo, where to me it looks like three distinct entities or bodies, you know, in a row from left to right, in the middle to left side of the, and on the right side, it looks like a taller, dark apparition, a male figure. He's wearing a suit, a coat, and a hat, is what I'm to be in this photo, even though it is in the dark, but it's light enough that you can make out what these things are in this photo. And those were the only photos that I got of the investigation that really made me question things, maybe that there is something here happening. That was the only really thing on the fourth floor that caught my attention. And then I looked at these photos when I was there, and I noticed them, and I tried to take more, but it didn't, nothing else really came about it. So, we go up to the fifth floor, and this is when, some things happened that, made me question things. Our team leader said that he saw on the fifth floor, one wing was the morgue, one wing was the kids' area. There was a playground on the north side where the roof was, and kids could go out to the, on the roof and swing and just hang out there for a while back in the day when this place was open and things like that. So this is where the kids were, and team leader said that he saw through the glass doors that a small kid or a small entity looking in at us playing peekaboo and going over to the right or the left side of the building like hiding and playing peekaboo and was looking in at us. I didn't see it. I wanted to see it, but I just didn't see it. He said he did. I didn't. At that point, all the doors were locked at that point, or they were closed and were not open at that point. So we go down to the other end of the hall towards the morgue and just hung out there for a little bit, just kind of sit still and hung out a little bit, trying to do some EVPs, but nothing really came of it. So we go down to the other end of the hall, where on the kids' wing, and the door is open. I kid you not, the door was open. And we did not hear it, we did not see it open, we did not hear it open, but somehow it opened. And that really, really got me, and to this day, I still couldn't explain it, and we were all on the other end, didn't hear it, didn't see it, none of our group was down there, but somehow the door opened. And so that made me wonder what the hell was going on here. So that was all that was, so we got out of there, and that was all that happened on that fourth and fifth floors, or up there. So we go down the basement, and then the basement is where they're having their haunted house for the people to come in and do a real Halloween haunted house, not a haunted house, as in ghosts and spirits. I think they were all upstairs, actually, at this point. That's what I'm thinking was. So we go through the maze and go through everything, where everything's at, get up to the first floor and come up the stairs, and we wait around and we listen to what other groups are reporting on the upper floors. And a few minutes later after we got there, we heard on the radio that they had seen an apparition on the fourth floor. So I head up there, and a few other people head up there, and we just wait and hoping to see it, and so I can take pictures and see it with my own eyes. But I never did see it after that. Same on the fifth floor. They saw one up on the fifth floor too, but we got there a little too late, I guess, and didn't see anything. So some people heard EVPs and everything like that, but I never experienced anything that would for sure proved to me with my own eyes, as in, you know, the degrees of seeing and hearing that would prove that there was paranormal activity there. I didn't see any ghosts, I didn't hear any EVPs or anything like that, didn't hear anything, although I did see the door, which, you know, a door opening doesn't really, in my opinion, prove 100% that there was paranormal activity. Now that if the pictures, you know, they are pictures that can easily be manipulated, camera malfunction, lighting, coming from an outside source, it's what you measure, seeing what your mind interprets that to be, what it could be. So there could be a whole host of other things that that could be other than paranormal. Now, I haven't investigated anything else since then, and that was really all that happened that night. Really, I didn't experience anything to prove anything one way or the other. I'm still skeptical of what of the whole paranormal thing. That's still my approach today, and I'm not sure how I would react, honestly, being, you know, 7 years later. You know, I haven't investigated anything since then, but surely want to. I'm not sure how I would react to actually seeing a full-on apparition, if they do exist. I'm not saying they do or don't. And I just don't know, understand how a spirit can exist outside the body. That's where I'm at right now. But that's really the only ghost stories that I really have for this episode, and maybe one day I will be able to be fortunate enough to go to New Orleans or Colorado again, although I won't go past, what's that town? Aspen. I won't go west of Aspen in Colorado for personal reasons. Again, I won't go into that, because that's another story all in itself. But I would like to go up to the Stanley Hotel and investigate that. Would love to go to Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, that battlefield. Love to go to New Orleans, go to the cemetery down there, to Marie Laveau's grave, and just photograph the hell out of that place. Go to the French Quarter and other places in New Orleans and investigate those places and take pictures and things like that. I would say that taking pictures would be my stronger method of investigating the paranormal. If I had to choose, I would say that the photography aspect of it would be my best, strongest suit. I know I've done photography for almost 10 years now, and that is one of the things that I know very well, and would have a better shot of getting such evidence with a camera than just straight up EVPs or sensations or anything like that. So, but yeah, that's really all that I have for this episode. Talked about scary movies and things like that, and what and my ghost stories, and that's really all that I have. I know that's kind of dry, I guess you might say. Sorry that I don't have anything much more interesting, much more scarier than what I have presented here tonight, or on this episode. I could always get into my relationship stories with my ex-girlfriends. That will be scary enough, but I will spare you for that. I'm pretty sure you don't want to hear about that, so I will spare you that horror. But that's really all I've got now, so I'm going to wrap it up. And I was supposed to have a guest, and my sister was supposed to join me, but she had a prior obligation with babysitting and kids and stuff like that. So, but that's okay. We'll do it again. I'll get her on the show a future episode, and we'll talk about something. I'm sure, you know, she'll be on here one day. Maybe a Christmas episode or something like that. So, be safe tonight and have fun and enjoy spending time with your kids and, just watch out for them and enjoy the time that you have with them. And, go out and celebrate, have fun, do some marshmallows, do some hot dogs, you know. Just have fun, enjoy Halloween. You know, it's under fire this time this year. So, just have fun and get lots of candy, things like that. So, just enjoy time with them and, that's all I got. So happy Halloween, and I will see you guys on the next episode of the Travosphere, episode 20. I'm behind, but you know, something like I said, some things have happened this fall that I didn't anticipate. But just bear with me. I will get more episodes out there as time goes by. So just bear with me and. Have a good Halloween, be safe, get lots of candy, and I'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening, and happy Halloween. Yes, thanks for listening, and you guys can find me on Stitcher Radio, iTunes, Podomatic. I'm on Spark Time Radio, and follow me on Twitter at TKComedy2013, TravosPair2014. I'm also on Facebook as well, those two handles, names. And be looking out for episode 20 in the coming months. Hopefully to have it out. Hope to have two or three more episodes out by the end of the year. So, again, happy Halloween. Enjoy your time with your family and get lots of candy. Until next time, goodbye.
afraid of no ghosts.
Just want some more. I think you better call.